Welcome, everyone. We're about to begin Be'ez Hashem, Feedback and Insights, Shir number 161. We are going through Rabbi Avraham J. Twersky's book, I've Got to Get Out of My Way, which I was told by two people very strongly. This left a tremendously profound impact. It is, as I'm reading it, extremely impactful for me, and it will be impactful for all of you if you really take it to heart. The chapter we're going to do today is called My Way Was Lying. And when we look at ourselves, yours truly included, and we think we're not liars, but we are liars. We lie a lot to ourselves, and we lie in defensiveness to other people without even realizing it, as we're going to explain. See, he says, fascinating, he goes through the history a little bit as he's experiencing things. So he inherited a unit after schooling, an alcohol detoxification unit in France, St. Francis Hospital Department of Psychiatry. And he admits he wasn't prepared for it. This is what I like also, if you see from Rabbi Twersky's books, he's very no-nonsense straight, but he's very brutally honest about himself. He's not afraid. He has a high, healthy self-esteem that he's not afraid to say that he was unprepared for something. He's not afraid to say, as you'll see later in some of the other of his books, I screwed up. I was dumb. I was young, inexperienced. And this is what happened. This is what I learned. He's not afraid of saying any of this. And this is even after, now you're going to say, oh, once he's an established rabbi, and everyone respects him. So it's easy to say those things because it's going on things that he did wrong or made mistakes years and years ago. But it's pretty clear that this was his personality all along. Always searching for truth, no nonsense, and being brutally honest with himself. So he was totally unprepared, he says, even though he had 4 years of medical school already under his belt and 3 years of psychiatric training under his belt. He was not prepared for the world of addiction. And at that point, a lot of that clientele that he had was related to some type of addiction. One of the veterans that was a recovering alcoholic who conducted weekly AAA meetings in that unit that he was on was his first instructor, was Rabbi Twersky's first instructor. And listen carefully to what the first instructor told him. His first instructor told him that you can always tell when an alcoholic is lying about his drinking by just watching his face. If he's moving his lips, he's lying. Period. And then he writes, Rabbi Twersky, I found this equally true of other addictions. Meaning, drug addiction, sex addiction, gambling addiction, even shopping addiction, even exercising addiction, but all types of addictions. If they're moving their lips, they are lying. That is the chronic aspect of an addict. To hide, to escape, to avoid, they lie. They lie. They lie to others, and they lie to themselves. And that is the main symptom, which means, listen carefully, which means that what we said in the first shir of this book, that many of the emotional problems that are found in an alcoholic can be found in most non-addicted people. That means that we, yours truly included, all of us, have to at least suspect that we often lie. We start the habit of lying early in childhood to escape punishment and to escape blame. The problem is that in early life, when we learn to lie, and we often get away with it by lying, it leaves an impression on us that lying works. And because lying works, and it's short term, but it does work for that short term, you'll continue that. But as he says, recent history demonstrates the shtus of covering up our mistakes. That even a power of presidency can't protect the president from being displaced from office or having issues with that. Watergate, spy, whatever it is. Rutorsky says when he lectures to medical students, he advises them to admit their mistakes. You see, many patients and families will forgive even a serious mistake, but if one denies it, the lawyer will call an expert to review the case, and there's no rachmanis then. No rachmanis. Why? If the physician tried to deny or cover up their mistake and that's spotted, there is no mercy. The exception to the rule is in certain unique cases of shalom bayis, not always, by the way. We'll get to that at a different point, and we discussed it already. Even though you're allowed to change things because of shalom, but there has to be an MS in every marriage. That's the crucial part of it, honest with each other. You use it in certain circumstances. And the only time where one can lie is if you're dealing with chas v'shalom, someone that is abusing you physically, emotionally, in a serious way, or is a control freak, literally, where if you tell them a truth, they're going to kill you with it. Those are rare exceptions to the rule. You know, or when you're standing in line by Auschwitz and you know what's going on because you were told, you lie and you say that you're 19 even though you know you're only 16. Okay? Then you could lie. But b'derech klal, lying, the gaining of lying is wrong, and there may be short-term gains, but there's long-term losses by lying. There's a Medrash Tanchuma in Noyach. He built a teva, gathered the survivors, meaning the people the animals that were going to go into the teva. Sheker came along. He wanted to go in. Noyach said, sorry, only couples could go in. You don't have a zivig. You don't have a mate. You can't come in. So Sheker met a Shlomazel, who was also looking for a mate to gain access into the teva. So they made a partnership, Sheker with Shlomazel. Now, I have to look it up. I'm reading from the book. I think another version of it is Sheker and Pachas, or Damage, Hezek. They made a Shidduch. But whatever the case may be, throughout history, anything gained by a Sheker ends up by a Shlomazel, or ends up with Pachas with a tremendous amount of damage. So people think that when you're honest and when you're truthful, it's just ethically correct. It's the right thing to do. It's a mitzvah, or it's the right way. But it's not just that. It benefits you ba'olam hazeh, in this world. Even if someone does not believe in Hashem, even for the seven, you know, for the non-Jews who seven mitzvahs b'nei noyach, are they technically allowed to lie? I don't think lying, not lying, is one of the seven mitzvahs b'nei noyach per se. Although the stealing that is involved in lying, that is one of the seven mitzvahs b'nei noyach. But lying itself may not be. But for them too, they need to know. It technically may be mutter for them to lie. But to enjoy, forget about the next world. Olam hazeh, this world, lying will kill you. Ultimately, lying will kill you. The problem is that as a child, when we have a habit and we deny our mistakes and we lie, that is one of the most destructive traits. He says that one drug addict said, stopping to use drugs was very hard. But stopping to lie was much harder. We lie to ourselves. We lie to our wives and our husbands. And that creates the most damage. Is it easy to admit the truth when you did something wrong and it'll hurt the other party? It's not easy. You're not sure whether it's the right thing or not in a particular case. You ask a shaila, you speak to a mentor. But you don't ignore it. Your wife's asking you something, or your husband is, and you don't know how to answer because you're not sure whether by saying the truth, you're not going to lie. You're just going to say nothing. If you lie, it's even more problematic. You ask. Sometimes a Rav will indeed tell you, for this particular thing, it's a past thing, it's not negay anymore. You don't have to say anything. In many cases, say it's hard, but you really should tell them, and this is how you tell them. You don't lie. A wise father once said to his children, Rav Tversky relates, if you do something wrong, I may have to discipline you, but I will forgive you. But if you lie about it, I will not forgive you. It's the lie covering up the shame. This is similar, I think. This is not in this book. But Yirmiyah said this. It's brought down in a few places, but it really left the Roshim. I told it to others, left them a Roshim. Yirmiyah writes that Hashem is talking. And he says, Hashem says, I am going to judge you by the fact that you told me Loi Chatasi, that you told me I did not sin. Hashem will forgive you if you open up to him, I was wrong. I want to do tshuva. I did this and this, the vidoy and the charata. And you're sincere. Hashem listens to it. He will forgive you. But on you, I'm going to judge you on saying Loi Chatasi. This is where, again, Shaul HaMelech was in such a high madrega, so we can't really relate to it because his subconscious sort of, you know, covered it up. But that was part of the reason why he ultimately lost his malchus. This was a flaw where right away when Shmuel tried to explain to him that he made an error, he did something wrong by not destroying every single one in Amalek, men, women, and children, including animals. You left the animals alive. And in the beginning, he rationalized the nation. I did the word of Hashem. And the truth is, in the context of the Psukim, because Shaul was a big tzaddik, he didn't recognize his own negius. That's how most Mefarshim explain it. He was an extremely high madrega, and he really believed he fulfilled the word of Hashem. And it took a while of Shmuel saying no, and then him saying, finally he recognized it. And he realized his own, you know, saw through what was covering, and he recognized, yes, I did something wrong. I was afraid of the people. So at the end, he did admit it, but it took him a while to get there. And that weakness was partially why the Malucha was taken away from him. And we can't judge. He was a real, real high tzaddik. We have to be careful how we talk about people from Tanakh, as I'm always told, and it's true. Shaul wasn't a very high madrega, but on that aspect, it was a weakness. And Chazal say it was a weakness. Dovid HaMelech, right away, he did something, and it was in his private life, yeah, with Bathsheba, whatever the whole story was, and causing Uriah, the husband, to get killed in a very, shticky way. Underhanded, manipulative way. And Hashem was upset about it, said Nasan Anavi. If you recognize the whole story there with Bathsheba, but it's not really the fact that he was Mizana or not, whatever. With Bathsheba, that aspect of it was not the main Musser. The main Musser was, how could you do this to Uriah Hachit, taking away the one thing that he had. But right away, when Nassan told it to him, and he gave the mushel, and David was enraged, he said, yeah, they took away everything from him, he deserves death. And Nassan right away says, you are that person, and gave him Musa from the word of Hashem. Right away, the first thing David does, Chatasi. He recognizes his sin right away. No justifications, no layers of defense mechanisms. He looked through it himself. He heard the word of Hashem, realized Nassan was speaking the word of Hashem. He understood it, and right away, again, Shmuel was afraid because he had the tchunas of Esav, the Admoni, and that he used for good. So David is well known. The mustik of David is struggling with one's nature in his very, very high level, which we can't comprehend. But the bottom line is he said right away, Chotasi. And Hashem said, I forgive you. Yes, they had to be with him because it was such a high madrega, that certain suffering he had to go through. But the forgiveness was right away. It just wasn't fully cleaned off until he had to go through certain things. But Hashem was meichel him right away. He said chatasi. So that's one thing. And also lying to others is ethically and morally wrong, but lying to oneself is stupid, Rabbi Twersky is emphasizing here. When we procrastinate, that's another part of our stupidity. Now, if you're not sure and you need to be more informed about a decision, then yeah, you could procrastinate, but that's not procrastination. That's gathering information till you're sure you have a decision, right? But at one point in time, and Rabbi Twersky says it's a big yes lesson in life, sometimes you're not sure, but you're going to wait forever. But you know you really need to do this, so you can't wait till you're 100% sure. And you need to make a decision. Otherwise, you stay and don't accomplish anything in life. So if you say, I'm going to do something, but not now, you're lying to yourself. And the Masil Shisharm talks about it in Zahiris, about procrastination, because procrastination very often is lying to oneself. So this is the Yesod. This shir is Yesod HaChayim, which is a hard pill for yours truly and most of you listening to swallow. We cover up our own stuff by lying. We don't think we're liars. But in a certain sense, the collective we, and I'm talking to myself, we lie. We lie to escape punishment and blame. We lie because our defense mechanisms kick in and we want to rationalize something. It takes a lot of courage to admit your mistakes, admit your wrongdoing. It takes a lot of courage. We need to work through that, not to lie to others and not to lie to ourselves. And that leads to a beautiful life, not just in the next world, but in this world. It may be a short-term gain by lying. You're avoiding some suffering currently or uncomfortableness by lying, but there's a long-term loss. So sometimes we need to do the hard thing and own up and admit when we were wrong and not lie about it, but be honest and say, Chatasi. Bracha natzlacha.